I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Short and Sweet, by the Heart. The Subway. A short love has a life cycle. It's born, it lives, it dies. That's it. No time for fights, no need to really figure each other out, just a little packaged memory of a love cut short. But does it have to be that way? Can you bring a one day's love back to life? Or maybe a one day's love is never actually dead. Our friend Shira Bannerman took a drive with her friend Caroline to talk this whole thing out.
Hold on. Am I taking this exit, Highland Avenue?
Yeah. You can't know, but you can't turn on the landing.
That's okay.
Okay, well, tell me the story of Mikey.
Okay. It was very late at night. It was like 4 a.m. The bars had closed. It's the outdoor platform. I was waiting for the G. Then I asked the station operator, "Hey, when do you think this train's gonna come? How much longer do we have to wait here?" And he said, "Oh, you know, it's not gonna come for another 45 minutes." And I was like, "Fuck, man." I tried to turn on my iPod, which had died. So that was my last bastion of entertainment. I had nothing. And I saw this boy. I didn't even see his face. He was just a stranger in a hoodie. He dressed like in dark clothes, and he seemed like he had a tude. He seemed like a bad boy, like someone I shouldn't have approached. Kind of cute when I looked at him. He was listening to an iPod, so without even really thinking twice, I walked up to him. I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, "Hey, listen, we have 45 more minutes to wait for this train, and my iPod just died, so can I listen to yours with you?" He looked at me like I was crazy, and then he said, "Yeah, okay." He gave me one of his earbuds. It was terrible music. It was like somebody like screaming and like chainsaws. It was like really like the worst, most intense metal music in the whole entire world. And I was like, "This is bad. Do you have anything else?" And so we just started talking, and I felt so like uninhibited so that I could just talk to him and insult his music taste and everything. We just had great banter and great chemistry, and we laughed and joked easily with each other. And then the train came, and somehow we were the only ones on our car, and we played these really fun games of like running up and down the subway car and racing and doing like obstacle courses, and it was just so fun. And I could tell he was having such a great time with me, and I was loving everything we were doing. And we played Truth or Dare, and we were still like sharing earbuds, I think, so we're just like our faces were really close to each other. Finally we got to the L transfer, where I needed to transfer and he needed to keep going on the G. I said, well, this is my stop, and I started getting really sad. And he said, oh, what should I do? And I was like, well, you can come home with me. And he was like, oh, I don't know, I don't think I should. And I was like, oh, come on, please, please, let's keep hanging out. Come on, you have to come with me. And he was like, oh, I don't know. He's again like, I don't know, should I? And I was like, yes, please, it's so much fun. And we stood there, just like hugging and stuff. And then finally, like, the doors were like ding, 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 like about to close on us. And
you guys were in the door.
And then he grabbed me, pulled me towards him, and he kissed me. And then that was it. The doors closed, and I was on my way back home alone. But we exchanged numbers before that, actually, on the platform. I thought about him all the time. Somewhere in my brain was always, like, thinking about him, I think. What if I run into him? Like, I hope that I run into him. In the context of, like, fate and meeting someone and things feeling perfect and right from the very beginning, I think I was proud of myself for leaving it as it was. You know, kind of being like, and I made the decision to have him as a magical moment and not try to make it anything else because I didn't want to ruin it. And I remember times that I had to restrain myself because I would scroll through my phone and I would see his number and I'd be like, oh, you know, I wish that I could call him.
So this lives in your head as a magical moment as opposed to one that could be realized.
It was realized. I mean, it was, because I texted him and we hung out again a year or more later. It was after an unsuccessful night, probably flirting at a bar, and I came home and I was like, I said, hey, you know, what are you doing? And then he texted back, who is this? Who do you think the worst? But it had been so long, I was like, oh, we probably got a new phone. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I meant to text my other friend, Mikey. I'm actually Caroline, that girl that we met on the subway like a year ago. I don't know if you remember me. Because that was my plan, was to be like, oh, whoops, you know.
Sure, yeah, good one.
And it was late. It was like 4 again in the morning. He came over. We went on the roof and talked for a long time, and he was really funny still, and we joked well together, but it was more like purposeful conversation, I think, and like getting to know each other. And I had like a lot of questions for him, so I was interested in him, and I feel like maybe he was just looking for another fun jokey night. It was fun, but it was like more of like a normal fun. It wasn't the same like magical fun that it was the first night. Finally, it was like the sun was rising. I was like, do you want to spend the night? And he said, sure. And then we went in my bedroom. One thing led to another. And he said, you know, like, you don't have to have sex with me or something like that. And I was like, no, I want to. And so we had sex. And he got up and left a few hours later. I don't remember if there was like any follow-up texts like right after. I kind of think there wasn't. So that sucks because I was into him. I was into the memory of him.
Does this story sound familiar? That's because it was one of the inspirations for our radio drama, Movies in Your Head. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. This piece was produced by Shira Bannerman, Caitlin Prest, and me, Samara Brieger. Thanks to Caroline McCowan for sharing her story. The Heart is Mitra Kaboli, Caitlin Prest, Jen Ang, Shira Bannerman, Megan Dietry, and me,